Thank you, Jesse and Jonathan. Well, did you notice we got a lot of cars out there? Looks like we got a packed house, doesn't it? Well, we had all these women that went to Women of Faith, and this was a preliminary, a kickoff, and so we had, I guess, 200 women in here Friday morning, and boy, that was a a buzz, you know. You get 200 women together, you know what I'm saying? Oh, all right, well, it's all good. Let's see. So, don't you love this time of year? I mean, have you had a melon? You like mush melon? Haven't they been good? I mean, to tell you, and tomatoes, and I just love the summer. And I love the fresh vegetables. And is it dark in here? Yeah. I know. Somebody hit the lights a little bit, if you would. Bob, turn up the lights just a little bit, if you would. Seems dark in here. There we go. I see you guys now. But anyways, what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Don't you like that? I mean, I just love this time of year for that. You know, that's one of the things I enjoy about summer, is just eating fresh vegetables, green beans right out of the garden. Oh, man, I tear that up. It's funny, my son said Zeta the other day, they were giving her lunch, and she likes apples. And my daughter-in-law cut up an apple and gave it to her, and she looked up at her mommy, and my son was sitting at the table, and my daughter-in-law, and she looked at her mom and she says, "Mommy, I'm going to tear that apple up." And right away, they knew where that came from. Because I say that all the time. You got to watch what you say, don't you? I mean, really. And so then I took her to the fair, Auglaize County Fair Friday. And it's funny because I had Heather and Haley with me, and I had her. And, you know, they kept everybody that took my tickets and, you know, we bought stuff, drinks from and stuff. Just, you know, here, this is for your daughter. They kept referring to Zeta as my daughter. I was like, oh, yeah. You know, it's my granddaughter, you know what I mean? So, oh, boy. You know what, though? I'll tell you what, we got it. And I ran a race Friday. I ran a race. Called the Blazer, and I'll tell you, it was hot, and I almost came in third place in my age group, just missed it by a few seconds, but you know, I felt good about that. But there was this guy, he was kind of running alongside me for the whole race, and I think he used me as like a marker, but he tried to stay with me. But we got to where we could see the finish line and everybody at the end and the clock ticking away, you know. And he says, "Well, I'll see you. I'm going to go ahead and finish." And he takes off. I said, "Not today." And I took off. And I tell you what, I was on the other side of the finish line waiting on that old boy to get up here. And I said, you're 40 years old. And he wouldn't ask me how old. He goes, "How old are you?" I said, "I'm 52. He says, "It's your long legs." I said, "It's not my long legs." It was about like that. He started arguing with me why he didn't beat me. It's what's in here, isn't it? It is, man. I just wasn't going to let him beat me that time. And then I got up and ran 10 miles the next day, yesterday. So, yeah. You know what, this booty-do idea, you know, I don't want this big old gut hanging out over here. I'm serious. We got to combat that. You know what, we got to be conscientious of our health. Really, body, soul, and mind. You're made up of three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Three parts. Those three integrated, working together, will get you into the plan and purpose of God. You have to be mindful of your health. Too many people aren't mindful of their health or what they're eating. You know, any type of exercise. If we don't exercise or do something, apathy sets in. There's a principle there. And you'll deteriorate. You know, I joke about that. I say, but you know what? There's a seriousness to it, isn't there? So, you know, do what you can. Get outdoors. Enjoy life, right? Get out there and enjoy life. You know, I have fun out there running with them people. I was out running with my friend Tom, and last week I talked about Haterade. You know, people look like they're drinking Haterade. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, they're running around all prune-faced and mean, looking mean all the time. And so Elizabeth Winks came up with this idea, and she took a picture of me, and she drew my picture down here, and it says, don't you be drinking this stuff. And it says, Haterade, and then the flavor is Grimace Grape. It's got this guy looking real, you know, mean mugging. Yeah, he's mean mugging. And but I was telling my friend Tom about that. I said, yeah, this gal in my church drew me this poster. Thursday I was telling him, because they gave it to me on Wednesday while we were running. And he goes, you know who when I think about somebody who looked like they drank Haterade, he goes, I remember Mrs. Alltop. I said, Mrs. Alltop? I said, that was our second grade principal. She walked around, you know, just this mean mugging all the time. And I said, yeah, I said, you're right, boy. She had her some Haterade. I said, we always called her all top and no bottom. I know that's not the nicest thing to do, but you know what I mean. You know how kids are. They'll say stuff because of what they're seeing, you know. And that's the way it's all right. What else was I going to share with you? I like to share stuff through the week, especially when I'm getting ready to drop what I'm going to drop in here. No. Go with me to 1 Peter. Well, wait a minute. Be still for a minute. After that run Friday, I ran that race, and I came home. And I felt good about it, you know, did good. And it was just so nice out. So I got on my bicycle. I started riding my bicycle. Well, in my neighborhood, there's a kid next door to me. They were here a couple weeks ago. And he got on his bike and started riding around the neighborhood with me. So we're just flying through the neighborhood, you know. So then we go back to his garage, and his dad is in there. And his dad just did his lawn, and he was working in the garage. I said, man, your yard looks great. And this is what he told me. I got to share this with my peeps, my folks up there. And he said, this is what he says. He goes, yeah. He goes, I was using my weed eater. He goes, I came around the side of the house. And he goes, there was a cat sitting there in front of the house as I come around the corner. He goes, as soon as I come around the corner with the weed eater, the tail went up. He goes, I cut the tail off the cat. I said, what? He goes, yeah, I cut the tail off the cat. He goes, and as soon as I did that, the cat crawled up my pant leg and just got up in my arms. He said, I started to coddle it. He goes, and then I decided, well, I'll just take it to, he goes, I took it to Walmart. I said, Walmart? I thought, man, is Walmart doing animals now? He says, yeah, I took it to Walmart. I said, why'd you take it to Walmart? Well, it's the biggest retailer in the country. You know that's funny. I thought, man, that's good. Don't you be telling anybody if you're not laughing. Oh, boy, I thought that was good. All right, go with me to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5. All right. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Father, we thank you for this privilege and opportunity to gather here this morning. We thank you for this day. We thank you for your presence. Now, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus that you continue to speak to our hearts and speak to our minds, Lord. Open our hearts and minds to receive your word, the very word that's able to save our souls. And Father, let none of us remain the same because we have been in your presence. And Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray, Lord. Father, we thank you for what you're doing. And we're going to give you all the praise and the glory. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Okay. Now, we have been talking about prayer. And I know some of you are wrestling with some of this, because prayer is not an easy thing. Prayer is not easy. It's not an easy exercise. And so here's how it works. Remember, here's we started out. You have to be specific, right? You got to know what you're looking for. You got to be specific, and then you got to find the Word of God on your problem, right? Be specific, find the Word of God on your problem. In other words, the Bible, God's Word, every problem we have, there's an answer, there's a solution in God's Word. Every problem. Our problems are a lack of spiritual growth. So as we get God's Word on it, and we get the answer, and stand on it in prayer, and hold God to it, you'll start to see results. Remember, it's not what you just what you ask for, it's what you ask for believing and receiving. You have to believe that you received it. Remember, Mark 11:24. You have to believe that you receive. So your faith has to get involved. Your faith is involved. That's the kingdom of God is all about your faith. You know, that's what moves, that's the currency of heaven. That's what moves heaven is your faith. That's your faith. So what you believe. It's not what you ask for, it's what you believe, right? So it's important to, because a lot of times we'll go to God in prayer and we talk to God, but we really don't believe what we just prayed about. And we go on into our day. But when we believe it, and we hold God, and we find God's promise on it, and we hold Him to it, you're going to start to see things change in your life. See, this is responsibility. See, a lot of people want you to lay hands on them and just, you know, they walk away and everything's going to be all right. Well, sometimes, but few times. You got to learn to do this yourself, right? All right. Now, be specific. And then what was the next thing? We have to ask. We have to ask. Remember, you have not because you ask not. You know how many people come to church and they don't even ask God? They're not asking God for what they're really longing and missing in their life. They're not asking God. So we have to ask God for what we want. And thirdly, we have to remain positive concerning the Word of God that we received, the promise of God that we received on our problem. We have to remain positive in that promise and continue in that promise. All right? That's important. So here's what we're talking about today is our thinking. Because the way we think affects our prayer life. Opposition is going to hit you the hardest in your thinking, and doubt, fear, and unbelief will come at you to affect your prayer life, so you get this communication here distorted, and then you don't get in. And then your prayers aren't going to be answered. Make sense? So we got to understand that we got to hold God and we got to keep positive towards the promise we got from God on our problem and hold Him to it. And He will see you through it. I'm here to tell you. Because What you're thinking, that's why, that's like why if you're sick and you're going through something, Isaiah 53, you know, by he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Not were, not will be, we are. We are, I am healed, right? 1 Peter 2:24, we were like sheep going astray, but now we have returned to the shepherd and overseer of our souls. And then it goes on to say that we are healed. Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities, who heals all our diseases, who redeems our life from destruction. You see, you begin to pray that. Before you go into prayer, you need to find a promise to take to God and pray to God with that promise. You see that? It says in Jeremiah 2, it says he's waiting and willing and ready to perform his word. So you have to get his word on it and remind him of his word. He wants that in you. He wants that from you. He wants you to trust him. Right? Well, what happens is, what's he say here? In likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, you, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with what? Humility. Humility means to submit your soul to God. It means to submit your soul to God. I'm bringing my, submit is submission. I'm bringing my soul under the mission of God. God's mission is his plan and his purpose for your life. And his word will bring you into that. I'm bringing my soul under that mission. And when, as you do that, you're walking in humility. Because it takes humility for you to depend on God that way. Right? Paul said, to me who am less than the least of all the saints, this grace has been given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. He said he was the least among all the saints. That's humility. He wrote 13 books of the New Testament. That's true humility. He couldn't say that because without it being true because it was said by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So he said he was least of all the saints. That's humility. And that's what gets us into the plan. God wants you dependent on him and no one else. Now look what he says. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Who's he giving the grace to? The humble one. The one who's dependent on him. Then he says, therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. As we, remember, I've shared, as we go to God in the morning and we cast our care upon him, then the rest of the day, he's caring for us. And we don't have to be full of anxiety and worry and doubt and fear and, you know, carrying all these burdens when we've gone to him in the morning. I'm going to tell you what, it changes your day when you will take it some time and go to God and cast your care upon him. Because, folks, it doesn't mean, it doesn't. I don't care how many bills I have. I don't care what my bills look like. If I go to God with it, I begin to trust, you know, your word says that, you know, you're going to provide for me according to your riches in glory. I remind him of his word. So I'm not going to worry about my bills all day. I'm just going to keep standing on his word. You see that? Cast your cares upon him. And, you know, all those worries and things, they leave as you go to him. I'm telling you, there's a protection in prayer. People who pray are not full of anxiety and worry. It shows up in your face. That's the first place you can see. A person that prays, their countenance is pleasant. And they just bring something. But people who aren't praying, sometimes they do look like they've been having some haterade. Even though they're a believer, it don't matter, right? Now watch this. Look what he says. Be sober and be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He can't devour everybody. He has to seek for the ones he can devour. Why? Because he can't devour the ones who are standing on God's word and holding God according to his word. Because when he shows up, you speak God's word, he flees. It says, resist him steadfast in the faith, and he will flee. That word flee means to run with fear. The enemy runs with fear when you remind the enemy of that you're standing on God's word and his promise. You speak it out of your mouth. You can't just sit there. You can't just think it. You got to say it. You got to speak it out. See? Make sense? Be sober. Remember what sober mean? It means not intoxicated. It means not under the influence. Too many times we try to get something from somebody else and we haven't gone to God on it, and we come under the influence of something else and not God's word. And that's not sober. He says, be sober, right? Sober means balanced. Remember, I get God's word on it, and it's going to bring balance in my life. If I listen to everybody else and everything that's on the news, then that's going to bring fear, doubt, and unbelief, and I'm going to get out of balance. See, but if I keep going to God's word, I keep searching the scriptures, and I keep petitioning heaven, it's going to bring balance into my life. Make sense? He says, be sober, not intoxicated, not under the influence. Because see, when we get words from other people, we now are under the influence of them and not God. Doesn't that make sense? What's it say? Isaiah 51, 21 says, please hear this, you who are afflicted and drunk, but not with wine. See, they're under the influence of something else other than what God said. Because he's saying, hear this, you who are afflicted. What's the word afflicted mean? It means sorrows, sufferings, and pain. A lot of times our sorrow, suffering, and pain comes because we don't want to hear what God has to say on the matter. Right? And it goes on to say, you have laid your body down like the ground and like the streets for them to walk over. Now the enemy is walking all over you because you're under the influence of something other than what God has said to you. Huh? That is major. We got to get a hold of that. We got to get a hold of that. And that's why we have to fight this battle in our thinking. Because it's what you're thinking is what's important. You being sober and what's going on in your thought life. You know, as I run with my friend Tom, we'll talk about these teachers and stuff, and he always brings up these teachers when we were in second, third grade. You know, this is 40-some years ago. Well, you know, the other day he said to me, he goes, man, I bet those teachers would not believe that you're a pastor now. Because, you know, I was honoring, you know. Do you believe that? And so, I thought to myself, well, you know, it don't matter what they think or what they would think, right? That doesn't matter. You know, my dad, he used to think, you know, he thought I was all that and then some, the way he talked about me. Well, you know, you can do anything. You know, he just always was saying good things about me. Even though I was doing wrong and getting in trouble, he was always saying good things, which is a good thing. But he thought good things about his son. My kids, you know, sometimes they think, I'll act silly, you know, you act fun. I like to have fun. And they'll say, oh, he's acting like El Dorco again, or, you know. And it's just like, that's okay though, right? They're laughing, you know, and, you know, snickering or whatever, but they call me El Dorco. That's okay. But you know what? They like to be around me, and I know that. So I know their thinking towards me is good. Now, I got a little dog, Molly. When I walk in the door, she's all over my feet, you know? And she's hungry. I'll get her food, and she's starving. And she won't even, fix her food, water right there, and she won't touch it. So I say, you know, I'm the Lord and the Master. Molly thinks I'm all that and then some. Right? But you see, it really doesn't matter what your teachers thought, right? Doesn't matter what your kids think. Doesn't matter what your parents think. It don't even matter what your dog thinks. It matters what you think. Because what Proverbs 23:7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And that's where this opposition is in your life. That's what's affecting your prayer life, is what you're thinking. And that's what we got to get a hold of. We got to get a hold of our thought life and be aware of it. We got to be aware of what's going on in our thinking. What governs your thoughts? Here's what governs your thoughts: observations, associations, and teachings. Observations, associations, and teachings govern your thinking. That's what's governing your thinking. What you're observing and how you're processing that, that's governing your thought life. What you're associating with, the people you're associating with, that's governing your thinking. The teachings you're under, you're receiving. The teachings you're receiving. You see, you just can't, you know, you have to be aware of the people you're connecting with, your associations, and what they're saying to you, and what you're allowing to become a part of you, right? And your observations, well, the things that you're observing, you got to be aware of that, because that's affecting your thinking. That's affecting the way you think and process things in life. Now, and then teaching, you got to be aware of what you're under in your teaching. You got to make sure, don't just come here and listen to what I'm saying. Take what I'm saying and go home and look at it yourself. Study it. What you're being taught is major, because that's going to affect your thinking. That's going to affect your thinking. So we're responsible. See, we are responsible for the plan and purpose of God in our life. Right? It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has been given to us to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly." There's that word soberly again. Not intoxicated, not under the influence of anything else, but what God says. Soberly. In this present evil age, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now watch this. What did he say? It's the grace of God that brings salvation. What's grace? Where do we get grace? Where does it come from? From others, some. But God, right? God gives what? Grace to the humble. When we're dependent on him, now God is allowing his grace to come into us. So salvation that has appeared to us to teach us, that it brings salvation and to teach us to deny ungodliness and worldly love. Now we have grace for others. You see that? Now we got grace for people who are show up in our life that aren't lovable, that may be drinking some haterade, right? Maybe all kinds of things coming at you. But now you have grace. And that, in that grace, in that time with you and God and God's word, you are being taught some things. And you are being empowered. Because grace is power. And it gives you ability. Remember? Love ability. Grace gives you love ability so you can love people who are unlovable. See, we're always looking for the lovable. But God's trying to show you, you need to be loving the unlovable. And that's what lovability is. And that comes from grace. Power, the word power means ability. God gives you ability when you get his grace. But if you don't get his grace on it, now you take it up in your own hands and you begin to think things and do things your way. And that can bring problems in your life. Am I making sense? All right, now go with me to Isaiah 55 real quick. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. I quote this scripture quite often because I really do rely on this verse. It says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts." When we get God's thoughts on it, we begin to put His ways in motion in our life. Because, see, listen, and we can only get them when we go to Him. Now think about this. When God says to be kind, all right, to be kind to one another, the word kindness means to those who don't deserve it. In other words, if you're being kind and it's just being kind, it's not God's kindness until you're giving it to someone who doesn't deserve it. The Holy Spirit's not involved. It's easy to be kind to people who are nice to you. But when you do God's kindness, see, that's a higher way. See, that's a higher way to be kind to those who don't deserve it. Right? Now, you can only get that when you go to God. And see, now, and that's what God says. Now, think about this. When you do it your own way and you're not kind, you're not showing kindness, then what's happening? You're not building relationships. See, in the kingdom of God, it's so different than the world. It's contrary, opposite of the world. Now think about this, because His ways are higher. God says, "Let every word that proceeds out of your mouth edify, rebuild, restore, and remodel. Build up, construct. You see, when you do things God's way, you begin to treat people and say things to people that constructs and builds them up. It edifies them. It restores them. It builds them up. But when you take things in your own hands, it brings destruction. It starts to destroy and tear down. Are we making sense? You can't do that on your own. You need to go to God with the matter and get the grace on it so you can keep building people up and speaking into their life. And you know what? You know what? When I was running that race Friday, I felt like quitting. I mean, everything in me wanted to quit. It was hot. But you know what? All of a sudden, I started encouraging people who were slowing down. And as I was encouraging them, it's like, yeah, I mean, I got more strength. There's a principle involved there. As you encourage others, hey, it does something for you. Just me telling, hey, keep it up, you're going to be all right, you know. I started doing that to other runners. And, you know, it helped me. I got my mind off my stuff and kept going. I'm trying to help you out. This is making sense. His ways are higher than our ways. See, when we're not extending grace, we're doing it in our own thing, and it tears down. And it's not sober. You're under the influence of something else. Oh, that's important. That's significant. Look at this. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And we're going to look at verse 3 and 5. 2 Corinthians. We got to take communion today, don't we? It's all right. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Okay. Verse 3. Let's look at verse 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God. You know what your weapons are? Your weapons are literally God's word. That's where you get your weapons for this thought battle. It's God's word. The armor of God in Ephesians 6, that's all God's word. Every bit of it. It's God's word. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. They're not fleshly, but they're mighty in God. God is a spirit, right? They're spiritual. Jesus said, my words are life and they're spirit. We need to fight these thoughts with God's word. That's why when we go to prayer, we want to make sure we got some word to go into prayer with. Now think about this. For pulling down strongholds. What's a stronghold? What's a stronghold? Strongholds are addictive behaviors. Pornography can become a stronghold. Spending habits can become a stronghold in your thinking. All these things can become strongholds that keep you from not going forward in God. And it's right here in the way you think. The only way to bring that down is through God's word. If not, you will repeat it and you will do it and you'll see, this is one of the reasons why it's so important that you stay connected to the body of Christ. And you stay in the church where the word of God is going forward. Because when you disconnect, now you have nothing to help you fortify any new way of thinking. And now the old way of thinking becomes more fortified, and that's a stronghold. Let me tell you something. The first 7 years of your life, your thought patterns were formed. Any psychologist today will tell you that that's true. Your first 7 years, your thoughts and your patterns were already established. And you know where they came from? They came from the person that you deemed the most important and that loved you the most in your life. And most of the time, that's your mother or your father. Or it could be somebody else. But a lot of times, what they taught you did not line up with what God says. And that's why, at times, it can be a struggle to renew your mind to God's word. Because you're always resorting back to what they said. And you're always resorting back to the word that they taught you. When really, it's not doesn't line up with God's word. And it's their own opinion and their own way. Am I making sense? That's why we have to renew our minds. And that's part of the battle. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. What's the high thing? He says, casting down arguments, our own logic and our own reasoning, we'll raise it up above what God says. He says, cast it down. And that's why we got to understand what God says. He says, cast it down. He said, take it into captivity. We need to see those thoughts that don't line up with God's word as a menace and take them captive. Right? And speak God's word into it and go forward. Folks, listen. This is how you pull down strongholds. But if you get away from the body of Christ and you get away from the word of God, those old thought patterns become more fortified. They will, and they'll be established in your life, and that's the way you'll go. You'll end up just like, yeah. Are we making sense? That's why it's so important that we be aware of what we're thinking. We got to be aware. You can't just let your mind wander and, you know, approach things. You just can't go there. And see, this is why people come into church and they're full of guilt and shame and they fall away. They feel like they can't do this. But folks, it takes time. Remember, we're to be full of grace and full of truth and give time for people to be made whole. People feel like they can't live this life. That's why there's, that's, and you know why? Guilt and shame. And then they fall away. That's why David said, I hate the works of those who fall away. The works of those who fall away. Why? Because the works of those who fall, he doesn't hate the people, he hates the works. What's the works? Financial ruin, families falling apart, addictive behaviors get worse. Am I making sense? But if you will make it up in your mind that I am going to stay in the body of Christ, I am going to be connected, I am going to abide in his word, I'm going to get as much word in me as I can on a daily basis, and I am going to keep going. I'm not, you know, I don't need to be called word breath and, you know, just quote scriptures every time I turn around. But the idea is, I am going to stay in the body of Christ. And you're going to see your, over a year's period, you're going to see your life change. You're going to look back and say, boy, I'm just not the same person I used to be. And it's a gradual thing. You're going to start, you know what? You're going to start to be free. Who the Son sets free shall be free indeed. Free from what? Free from bitterness, free from unforgiveness, free from resentment, free from guilt, and free from shame. As you abide in God's word and you stay connected in the body of Christ, those things fall off your life and you begin to see who you are. Jesus said, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth and the truth will make you free. Free to be what? Free to be me. I got to be who I am. Are you with me today? And that's what you're looking for. You want to know who you are, and you find that out when you discover who Christ is in you. Amen? I know I'm preaching a little bit, but I get excited because I see people doing this and falling away and listening to gossip and things out there going on and just always, you know, see, the enemy works through suggestions. He'll try to put something and put a little twist on it, and you know, and then you'll catch a hold of it, and then, you know, you'll just let it become in your thought life. But you see, this is where it's your responsibility. You have to make up it in your mind that I am going to stay in the body of Christ and I am going to abide in his word and I'm going to get what he says on my life. Doesn't that make sense? I tell you what. I've got so much more, but we're out of time. Let me give you this meaning of a stronghold. Strongholds are thoughts that reside in your mind, protected by your personal belief system. Strongholds are thoughts that reside in your mind, protected by your personal belief system. And that's what you have to get rid of. Only God's word can bring those things down. Nothing else has the power. Nothing. And that's why we have to be students of the word, and we have to get ourselves in the body of Christ where the word of God is going forth. I've got so much more to share with you, but like I said, we will continue. And we're going to stay in this series on prayer. And next week, my son is going to be preaching here. So y'all better treat him good. Be nice, right? So we're going to continue in this idea of prayer. Because, folks, this is where we're growing, right? Because praying people deal with their issues. We all got issues, don't we? And people who are truly petitioning God and truly going to God in prayer are going to deal with their issues. They're not going to keep covering them up, and they're not everybody else is going to have the issues, and me not. Because a lot of people go to church think they don't have problems. Well, we all got problems, right? It's that remember the dog? That's the idea. Lucky, he had no tail. One of his ears was bitten off, and he only had one eye. And he's answered to the name of Lucky. That's denial, right? And that's what a lot of people are walking around like that. I'm all right. Yeah, I'm all right. You know, everything's falling apart. That's denial. That's issues that were not being dealt with. But when we're really praying and we're seeking God, we're going to deal with those issues. I'm serious. praying people deal with their issues. And remember, what's one of the first things is a sign of a person that is truly petitioning God? Self-control. Self-control. They're not going to blow up. This addictive behavior, self-control is one of the things that I've observed of people who truly pray and petition. I hear people talk about prayer, talk about it, say they do that all the time. They go to all the prayer, but you know what? It's the ones who don't talk about it and the ones you see it in their life. They're not telling you they're praying all the time and praying this and praying that and praying that. I'm praying, pray. Oh, we're going to pray. But you ever get around people, they want to let you know how they pray all the time, how many hours a day they pray, and they're all, and really you don't, you know, I wouldn't want nothing to do with what they got. It's the idea is, the ones that I've seen and observed that pray, man, they just have a countenance, they enjoy life, you know, stuff doesn't get to them. People, I don't care what people do, because they're getting the grace on it, right? To give to them. Man, that's power. That's power. I'll tell you what, we're gonna get a hold of this thing. The people who are helping me with communion, could you come?